Gavrilik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Round one, Robbo, is finally here. And incredibly, Max King will not be playing because he was hit in the head with a golf ball. And it reminds me of some varied ways of missing games of footy. Jared Grant famously stood on a stingray down
too.
At the beach. And Jono got run over by a drinks cart.
He acted a bit there, Jono. Can you remember? He sort of jumped up.
I don't think he was ever the same, was he? The Achilles. And the great Mark Coughlin slipped in the shower.
How many people have slipped in the shower over the years?
I think...
pretty common.
The Hawthorn Premiership.
Joel Gibson.
Gibbo slipped in the shower. Brad Otten speared himself.
Nickname basis.
Well, four-time premiership.
Who else?
Brad Ottens. Remember he speared himself.
Yeah, fence paling or something. And they're the ones we know. What about the ones the clubs haven't let out that players have missed? Have you ever damaged or hurt anyone playing golf? Have you ever hit anyone?
I almost hit my brother once, but I've been hit by a 5-iron at Peninsula.
A club or a ball?
By a ball.
Hit?
A 5-iron from 150 metres. I was playing with two blokes, and this bloke had hit his drive into the rough. We all looked for it. He couldn't find it. The other two, we went up to the green to complete, and he was still looking for his ball. The next thing I know, I'm lying unconscious on the green.
Unconscious?
Well, not unconscious. But
well, why did you say unconscious?
Well, you know what it's like when you're...
groggy.
Very groggy. The game was over.
So where did he hit you in the head?
Right in the back of the head.
Did he yell four?
No.
Were you angry
very,
with him?
Very,
very. You angry that he just didn't yell four?
Well,
that...
four is quite an important ash component of golf. Do you think Max King's mate had time to...
He must be a bad player, Max King's mate. Because it's been explained that it went at right angles off the tee. off the tee at right angle.
So Max must have still been slightly in front of the...
Yeah, because it's partly Max's fault. You don't stand in front, do you, off the tee? You're always behind.
It must have been quite a high slice too, given Max's head's about 2 metres off the ground.
Must have been a very, very bad shot.
Have you ever been struck?
No, I've never been struck. I nearly killed my cousin Mick with the club head, driver head one day. My game wasn't the best and I lost control and I sort of swung the club into the little tee box and the head snapped and whistled past his face. That would have hurt. But God love golf.
It's a great game, golf.
Have you ever lost clubs?
No.
Are you a club thrower?
A long time ago, I might have dabbled in that. I must say, having played golf with you and David King once, he is the longest hitter of the golf ball, David King, that I've ever seen. Now, it doesn't necessarily go straight, does it?
But he's got
some power.
In modern day parlance, he's got connection.
Sort of DeChambeau-like.
Yeah, he's a little bit. He's built like him too. A little bull. But, they're golf... Our golf careers are on hold now for the next
20 years, in my case.
In 6 months, as footy takes over most days. There really is an air of excitement. There really is. Can you remember, or do you ever think about the lockdown period of last year?
I don't really.
I don't either. But if you had to stop and remember... What do you remember?
The weirdest time for me was I remember very early on going to the supermarket and everyone's wearing masks and there was actually this kind of fear like, is this really happening? And this is actually quite serious, isn't it?
It's a Stephen King movie.
It was a bit. Once you got used to it and you got into the pattern of it, it sort of just became a way of life. And now, you know, we went to the races together on Saturday and it was like it never really happened.
But that was the first time I'd really been in a big crowd outside of a supermarket.
Yeah, you looked a little bit apprehensive.
But it was just good to be out and about, wasn't it?
It was.
Really, really good to be out and about. So I'm going Thursday night. I'll be covering the game for the Herald Sun. And what's sort of semi back on the agenda, not massively so, but the fact that Carlton and Richmond once again kick off the year, do you think that they've got a stranglehold on that? Or, as was put to me by a CEO in the last 36 hours, and not the CEO of last year's grand final teams, another CEO about why not have the replay of last year's grand final?
I think we had that before, but this is a marquee game for Carlton and Richmond that they both, I think they split the gate and make $1 million. It's a part of the tradition. It's like Anzac Day. It's obviously not
Anzac
as big
Day
as Anzac.
It's not changing, is it?
No, it's not. And all Good Friday footy has changed a few times. But I think Richmond and Carlton have proven they can pull 70,000 plus. And I know it's a little bit odd because it's the first game of the year. Why do they have a mortgage on it? But I think it works. And I remember Carlton would win 10 in a row, and now Richmond have won 6 or 7
Carlton
in a row. The worm will turn.
How long has it been going for?
Well, remember the famous Ben Cousins hamstring game?
Tell a story about that night. Ben, we had just signed Ben Cousins as a columnist for the Herald Sun. And so I used to go around Ben's place in St Kilda, or St Kilda East or whatever, wherever he lived, him and the wife of his children. And anyway, Ben did his hamstring and I was down the rooms and he was the last to come out and we had to ghost a column.
Well, I remember the column, and I also remember thinking, how did you get that 600 words turned around it so quickly to
furiously get it? Typing. But I remember being with Brian Cousins, Ben's father, and he come out, and I knew Brian a little bit, but Ben come out and his hamstring was wrapped in bloody ice, and you know, he's always had that, it'll be right. You know, he was playing okay that night.
Yeah.
He was going okay, and then he pulled it just right down in front of the members.
They lost by 83 points. It was
Did they really?
Humiliation. I never forget the crowd.
Was that the first one, was it?
Well, it was one of the early ones. But
do you know how many times they've had the round one
game? Oh, it must be close to 20 years
well,
now.
Well, our new segment, we can take care of it in our new segment. Questions we asked last week that we didn't know the answer to.
Well, I got one for you.
What's that?
Because you asked last week whether Tony Liberatore, how quickly he came back from the ACL, because we're hoping that Cam Rayner might be able to.
How quick was it?
18 weeks.
18 weeks.
Which means, you know, that world record pace, around 19, you could have a... Now, it was a special case, but there was an answer to that.
Special
and
I'll
find out next week about how long Richmond and Carlton have been playing. But I was just going to say on that, did you go to Ben Cousins' first Richmond training session at Punt Road Oval after he
was...
Wasn't that a circus? I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
He was... There's a rock star group who plays AFL footy or have played AFL footy. We haven't got too many rock stars left. Buddy's a rock star.
Yep. Ben Dusty.
Dusty's a reclusive rock star.
Yeah, on Rockstar, Richo told me a story that when they recruited him, Ben Cousins, they went to a rock concert at Rod Laver Arena. I don't know who it was, but he said that Cuz turned up 10 minutes late, so the concert had already sort of started, but the crowd's attention had turned away from whether it was Def Leppard or whatever to Ben Cousins.
To Ben Cousins.
Like, there's Ben Cousins. Like, he did have that aura of like a rock star. Talk to Kingy, I remember he said just a conversation with him
but
would
Buddy,
be entertaining.
Buddy knocked out Ben Cousins at the MCG. Can you remember
little bump? Wasn't much in it, was it?
And we knocked him out. He had to go off the ground. You're big on concussion.
Yeah, but it was more of a
dirty. No, he tackle bump. No, we just crashed into him. But
yeah,
Franklin's what? 110 kgs. Benny's, you know, was what, 85? I went to Ben's place that week, and
the second time you've mentioned that.
Yeah, well, I used to go around there. He used to smoke darts. So I used to smoke darts with him out the back as we were doing his column, right? And
sorry, kids.
Yeah, don't smoke, kids. But it was a long time ago. And I asked him, "What is it? I've never been knocked out. So what does it feel like when you're knocked out? Where do you go in your head? What happens?" And he sort of wouldn't answer the question. Then I kept on asking him. And he goes, And he sort of snapped at me, and he said something like, "You want to know what it felt like? It felt like the last time I used bang and said, he said a drug." I went, "Oh, okay, that won't go in." That's not going in the corner.
It's probably an unusual segue, but talking about Knox, what do you make of this? And I'll use some editorial license here. Fiasco. Around introducing a medical sub, or it was going to be a concussion sub, but with 2 days to go.
We had Gil. What's today, Tuesday? We had Gil last night on.
I saw that interview.
AFL 360, and I just asked him. I mean, is the AFL the only major sporting body in a country that introduces something, a new rule? Which Gil didn't think it was a rule, but they're introducing a player. They're introducing an extra player into a team. Do you think that's odd? 2 days out, it's been announced this morning that it is it's an injury sub. So this all come about because the coaches had a meeting with the AFL last week, allegedly, or led by Clarkson, Alistair Clarkson. And then
he gets what he wants, Clark, doesn't he?
And then by next Tuesday, it's part of the rules now.
I thought a rule, Robbo, was a process for a rule, that it was debated by a rules committee, it was ticked off by them, it went to a commission who agreed to it, who looked for pitfalls, and there was a process, like legislation going through Parliament, if you like. How can you do a rule within a week as significant as changing the war of attrition? Now, I get that concussion is a serious issue, and what I really think has happened here is that the AFL saw a ghost when the Victorian coroner spoke last week about Shane Tuck, and he made some damning comments, and one of them was that his preliminary view was that these athletes were being put at high risk in a profit-making enterprise. And I felt as though that comment from the coroner put the fear of God into the AFL, because you look at it through, if you want to translate what he's saying there, is that there are some liability problems for the AFL and its commission down the track here on concussion. And they have rushed this in my view, as a PR exercise or as a reaction.
I don't know what sort of exercise it is. I'm from the other side. I think the coaches are talking about care of duty.
Yeah, and I think they've seized on that.
I think the coaches don't want to be down a player.
No, of course they don't.
I think that's their main...
Well, that's why we've got the bloody interchange in the first place, because Sheedy wanted it to go from 2, because we were losing players to injury, to 3, and then it went to 4. And now it's gone to 5.
Yeah. So Damien Harvey had a really interesting point again on 360 last night. And he said, well, what happens if you nominate a sub and you nominate... Give us a fringe player at Richmond.
Marlon Pickett.
Right, Marlon Pickett. Oh, we're going to put Marlon Pickett as our, what are they going to call it? Concussion sub?
Sub.
We're going to make him his sub. Okay, no worries. But we lose Toby Nankervis. But we had Marbio Chole as one of our 4 emergencies. Why can't you have the choice?
Yeah, but wasn't it when you lost a ruckman in a game? I'm trying to think of a famous one. David Hill went down, and I think Paddy Ryder had to come into the ruck. Mm. That's footy.
That's
okay, we've lost the ruckman. If you can just pluck a ruckman out of the crowd, isn't that sort of defeat the war of attrition aspect?
It's the attrition.
This is about concussion, isn't it? Where did this come from?
But how can it's about concussion, but it's been turned into a long-term injury sub. But how is introducing a concussion sub alleviate liability?
Because it's something you can point to. We went to 12 days, then we did this. We're doing all these things.
But they're coming off... The guy's been knocked out. He's coming off on the ground on a stretcher anyway, mate. And he's not allowed back on. That's what it is. The player coming back on just for the coaches, so they're not down a player.
I agree with you, because if it was that way, why wouldn't you have done it 6 months ago? Why are we suddenly doing it now? 3 days before, and there'll be something we haven't thought of, and that's why they've delayed it, because they want to check the fine print. But I've heard they're going to say you have to be under 23 or something. That's just ludicrous.
A lot of it's ludicrous. Anyway. The whole world's ludicrous. But tell me another thing Harvick said last night. I want your thoughts on this. With the new rule, and we had an extraordinary amount of marks last week. You would have noted that. You know, Port Adelaide took 190, yes, the most ever in a
ever
in a pre-season or regular season game. And Ken Hinckley,
it's not a bad stat, is it?
It's amazing. And said he's tipping it. They might even break that during the regular season. 190 marks. Now Damien Hardwick said last night that he hates uncontested marking. Hates it. And the way he played, and the way Richmond played, I can understand why. Because they'll attack you.
Mm.
They just like swarming. And he said, and I was hoping, actually, that players would push up into the midfield to stop that short, uncontested ball. But he said last night, he goes, no. We'll be all folding back. We'll be folding back. So
have you got confidence in Steve Hocking?
Have I got confidence? Yeah, I have.
I'm not sure the public do.
Hang on. Have you confidence in Steve?
I don't, but I haven't had confidence in them since, as I said to you, the rules-making process has been
changed.
And it's...
It seems to have been hijacked. There's no doubt about that.
There's no transparency.
I like the fact that Hocking is trying to open up the game.
Yeah.
Right. Now, how he does it, that'll be up to...
Up to him.
All of us. No, it's up to... It might be up to him. Gil McLachlan did say last night when I asked him who introduced the rule, he didn't know. No one knows, mate. No one knows. No one's putting their hand up. I asked Steve Hocking the week before. He wouldn't tell me either.
But that's going back to my point that you have to have a transparent process. The Rules Committee came up with it. We ticked it off at the Commission and here's the rule. Anyway...
But I'm open to opening up the
game.
We
all are.
But time will tell if this will be successful. If Hardwick is right, and David Teague, the Carlton coach, he agreed with him, it's fold back. Now, if we fold back, we could have 15 players, 16 players, 17 players ahead of the ball, deep. That's not going to be very attractive.
Well, then we're going to go back to zones talk, and it's just like...
No, but I'm big into zones.
I know you are, but, you know.
Mate, all I want to do is spread the ground. I want a full forward to stay at full forward. I want players to stay in the forward line without coming up the ground and setting up a grid. And then we have that chip. Oh, look at them. No, they're working the ball around. They're trying to find a spot. Someone leads out from half forward, marks on the chest, and the commas go, oh, great kick. It's not a great kick. It's just a kick to a leading player. We've got to spread the ground. And if this doesn't work, we've got to go to the next plan to spread the ground.
Yeah, but then it might be too late. It's like introducing myxomatosis into rabbits.
It's never too late.
Or the cane toad into Queensland, Robbo. You have to be careful of what you're doing the first time. But we're going to have to take a break, and we'll come back after this. Now, Robbo, are you a journalist or a team player? Because I was surprised by Dermot Brereton's comments that Jackie Epstein grabbed him after the Fox footy launch last week in the city. And, of course, Eddie Maguire came up. And Dermot made some interesting comments, which I have here, that the people who I reckon piled in on him, I've told them. They know where I sit with that. There's reporting and then there's opinions. And some of my colleagues in the media, their opinion was relentless, and I've let them know. We work in the media, and then within the media as a fraternity, there are micro fraternities such as Fox Footy, and Eddie is one of us. And some of us who work here were relentless in their pursuit of him. And then he went on to say that there is a level of camaraderie that needs to be adhered to. And I couldn't help but think that he's having a go at you and not being a team player at Fox Footy.
Yeah, he was having a go at me, there's no doubt. And it started on last Monday night when I said to Dermot, how's Eddie? They're great friends, they've been around. And Dermot said he's pretty angry, and we had a bit of a chat, and he spoke about the pylon. And I think he said, I led the pylon or something. And I said, well, Derm, don't get me wrong, I've worked with Derm for 15 years now on here at the paper and Fox. And
He's a loyal mate, isn't he?
He's a pretty good footy mate.
No, but I mean of Eddie as well.
I'm a good mate of Dermot's in footy. Dermot's and Eddie are great life mates.
Yeah.
So, most of the time I'd been consistent. I wrote 4 or 5 years ago that Eddie should go. So,
would you talk to Derm about that?
I haven't spoken to him about it. It was like minutes before we had to go on air and do our stuff.
No, but about what he said to
Jackie. I hadn't spoken to him when he said about the camaraderie should, I suppose, overshadow the fact that I've got to do a job. Now, the problem with all journalists and print media who are working in a couple of different mediums, right, namely radio and TV, yes, you do join that Fox footy team. We both work at 3OW. We feel we're a part of the 3OW team. I do. Do you?
Yeah, of course. But that doesn't mean that...
That doesn't preclude the journalist from doing his job. And there's a really fine line to tread, but for others. But with journalists, there's no fine line. You've actually got to do your job. Now, Derm's just not realised it, but just... misunderstood my role. I'm not going to Fox to
be a comrade.
Well, I am, but not at the expense of my job.
Yeah.
You understand.
Yeah, but I guess what he's saying is it was unfair to attack Eddie Maguire. And there is a bit of a feeling like that in the community. The other thing that intrigues me is how his people on his own show don't know whether he's going to turn up on Wednesday night. I mean,
that's tomorrow night.
They're milking that, aren't they? He's $1.01
to turn up.
And if he doesn't...
You'd be disappointed. I would be disappointed.
From paying him, I would be, but I guess he pays the bills. It's his show.
Eddie's he's a fighter. He'll get up off the canvas and... put his chin out and away
and,
he goes.
And have a go. I mean, he'll be having a go at you.
Why will he have having a go at me?
Because he led the pile on, according to Derm, because Eddie's the victim now, don't forget.
See, that's been the change. And I hate the word narrative, so I'm not going to use that word. If I ever say that word, Mick, say to me, don't use that word. The storyline has suddenly turned around to... let's feel sorry for Eddie. You know, I do a little bit. You know, he'd been there for such a long time. He shouldn't have gone out like that. But Eddie, he led his own demise. But now he's the victim, and everyone else who wrote about it are the nasty people. Can you get your head around that? Because he's probably not happy with you either.
Yeah, but I think if he was honest with himself, which he won't be... when you stay in a job for 23 years or whatever it is and you keep making gaffes, and eventually one of his gaffes was going to cost him his job, and that's what happened. And so he had to go.
Do you think if Eddie walked into that first meeting... Yeah. Do you think in that first press conference, which he started with an historic and proud day, do you think if Eddie stood up and said, much like St Kilda did when the Muir story broke, I put out a press release and made comments, we apologise. Do you think if Eddie stood up, instead of saying what he said, and said, I stand here and I sincerely apologise for what this report has revealed and the accusations, do you think he would still be president of Collingwood?
Yes, I do. And I also think he's probably incapable of saying that, which is why he said he spun it the way that he spun himself into trouble.
He
never ever really, even on the goods thing, he never actually falls on his sword and says, you know what, that was unacceptable.
I've really stuffed up here.
He pushes back on all of his that's part of the firestorm.
Yeah, he always says with the goods comment. It came out, but I meant to say the direct opposite. What's the direct opposite from let's fly Adam Goods down to Melbourne, rah, 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 and the King Kong Theatre? What's the direct opposite of that?
But let's move on to his team, who's no longer with, playing the Bulldogs.
What a game.
The Treloar Cup.
Treloar Cup. I mean, Fittingham, we'll build it up. We will build it up. All the media.
No, Buck's built it up. He said that Tom Phillips took it professionally. He took it personally. So they keep sort of poking the bear there.
Last year,
but
once the game starts,
Collingwood looked the premiers after they beat the Bulldogs that in front of amazing, zero fans.
That was
last
amazing
year.
First game. Brody Grundy was just monstered Wood.
And then the pandemic came.
But
do you think if the pandemic?
Just back on the personal stuff. Bucks is what's said to have changed, become really relationship oriented, and you know, helping people identify who themselves and their own vulnerabilities. And when I say et cetera, that's not downplaying it. It's just that it's been widely discussed at all clubs. Now, when you talk about family and core values and you get people to tell their life stories and then they sack them, how can it not be personal? How can you not take it personal?
I can't.
The whole football club environment and culture at all clubs now is about personal investment. You know, we invest in you. You invest in us. You know, they invest in each other.
Well, so, I heard Tom Morris say last night that Bucks apologised to the playing group at the start of the pre-season for the
events of the trade period.
Yes. So if that's true, it's interesting that he's sort of giving him another clip.
A lot of sorries coming from Collingwood.
So who do you think that the Dogs...
I think the Dogs will munch them.
Do you? Munch them?
Yep.
Gee, okay.
Yep. Only because kids will be playing at Collingwood, they're not going to be ready, and the development's
their
coming along.
Their forward line's a problem.
Their forward line's a problem, and
unless DeGoey goes mad,
and the Dogs. What I'm more interested in is whether Buckley's going to tag. I spoke to you about this last week. They have got Bontempelli, Treloar. I won't tag Treloar. Bontempelli, McRae. God, they've got to latch onto McRae. They got Hunter. They got Dunkley. They got Bailey Smith, who was 51 in my top 50. I tried to get Bailey Smith in.
Well, he wasn't 51. He just wasn't in your top 50.
Yeah, but I've got him as 51 in my own head. Will they tag? Will they tag? Yeah, I don't know.
They're a fascinating club, the Bulldogs, though, because they just don't ever seem to be able to get it all together, do they, ever since the flag. But anyway, I want to ask...
No excuses for the Dogs this year. No excuses. They are good enough, and they have got enough games into enough players, right, which gives them greater consistency of performance. There's no excuses.
And Steph Martin's a good pickup to help Tim English, but I don't know if Norton can do it all on his own down there.
No. He's going to be playing round one, I think. Thank God he didn't break his arm. But I heard an interview with Steph Martin on radio the other day. He's an impressive man,
yeah,
Steph Martin,
and he's as fit as a fiddle, that bloke.
You ever been as fit as him?
No. I wish I was.
He's 34 years of age. Yeah, Steph Martin.
What about your old mob, the Bombers? I was intrigued to read, and I've always never understood why they left Windy Hill in the first place. But they want to reconnect spiritually with Essendon, with Windy Hill. What's going on? Do you think that the penny's dropped a bit with Essendon, that they need to get back to being Essendon?
Yeah, Essendon lost its way. We know that. We were covering the supplement saga, from 2013? Yeah, 2013, all the way through. Essendon became a now team. Everything about Essendon was about the now. The supplement saga, into Johnny Worsfold. It was calamity and emergencies time after time after time.
Scandal.
So they were just living in the now. And John Worsfold, last year's poor performance, and it was, Worsfold, you're going to have to finish up. And it happened. And the coach came in, Ben Rutten, and Essendon hadn't been Essendon for a long time.
I'm not sure they will be Essendon for a long time.
Well, they may not be, but they're making steps. You know, the club says it wasn't a fractured club. Go and ask the fans. They had the invisible...
Go and ask the players.
They had the invisible president who never addressed the fan base except in press release. How's that? Where's the soul in that?
Which, for a politician, was unusual.
Yeah, very unusual. I went to the Essendon season launch last Thursday, actually, and Dustin Fletcher... I walked in the foyer and Dustin Fletcher was there, and I was chatting to Fletcher, played 400 games.
Excellent bloke.
Caught up with him at Waterworld in Bali, actually, a couple of years ago.
Waterbomb Park.
Waterbomb Park.
How good's that, John?
In Kuna.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so... My boy William thinks that's probably better than Augusta National.
Oh, he would. It's pretty damn good, isn't it?
That's very good.
So, mate, my family walked in, and big Fletch was there with
what
his kid.
What a bomb. Could he fit on any of the...
He was doing big AAs off the 12-metre.
His son's now a punter.
Asked him about that.
In America.
Loving it. Absolutely loving it. Showed me some footage of him kicking. They're not going to be playing, I think, till August. Mm. But
living in the college.
He's loving...
He's taller than his old man.
Every aspect of being a foreign, a young fella living in a far, far away land.
Could he ever come back and play for the Bombers?
I think it's a possibility, but I don't think he'd be thinking that. He'd be thinking, let's stay over here. And
I saw Gronk this morning. Gronkowski, he's about 40. He signed a one-year, $10 million deal, right?
At Tampa
to stay with Brady. And that was just right at the end of their, okay, well, we better give him a contract. I mean, I know it's America and it's the NFL, but our best player, Dustin Martin, I keep saying this, gets about $1 million, 1.2.
1.2.
It's ridiculous. I know it's a bigger market, but Duck got $1 million 25 years
and
ago.
And Cooter, 23 years ago.
Anyway, where were you? Fletcher's boy.
Back to the Bombers. So I ran to Fletcher, and I was just standing there, and, you know, an older fella come up to me, and it was Paul Brasher. He goes, hey, welcome, you know, talking to him. And then Simon Madden come up, and there was a lot of Joey Massidi was there, and they put on a video. It's Essendon's 150th next year.
That's right. They've made a great video.
So they've made it might be a feature-length film, but they put up a snippet, and they just interviews with people throughout the history of Essendon. And Ben Rutten is really...
tapping into it.
He's tapping into that. And what happened, Essendon hasn't had that. You can't live in the past. There's no doubt you cannot live in the past. But when you're a new coach trying to establish an identity with young players, part of that identity is knowing where you are. And I think for a long time, for a decade, mate, 9 years, Essendon was just, tell you what, they were in scandal land for so long.
But they were at that place when Bomber and Hurdy got back in charge of the joint, weren't they? I mean, they were. If it wasn't for the saga, they would have reclaimed Essendon.
Essendon, it feels like Essendon have been climbing Kilimanjaro for the last 9 years. But, and every time they try to get a couple of steps forward, they'd slip on gravel and come back, and it was too much of a slog. But anyway,
but Richmond was in a death spiral for 37 years. Carlton are in one at the moment.
Dennis Pagan said when the fines come down for salary cap cheating, this will set the club back 10 years. Right? And everyone went, 10? What? Really?
Try 20.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. So I'm fascinated by that.
You've got to get your ducks in a row, and you've got to keep them in a row. Because that cliche where the fish rots in the head, the fish rots from the top of the football club, be it, you know, the decisions they make or the people at the top. It's as simple as that. Do you think they'll... where did you have them?
Bombers. I can't put them in the eight, but I saw Jared Healy say they were the best sort of surprise packet of the NAB.
Oh, clearly. Clearly. Essendon had two of the worst pressure performances last year, and on that first weekend at the Amy Series, or the only weekend in the Amy Series, they were the number one pressure team. Now, Rutten has been talking about, let's go back to blue collar. Okay, and when you got a youngish team, mate, it's not a bad handle to have. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. We're going to fight.
So where have you got them?
Bottom four.
So after all that,
There's a lot of good teams out there, mate. Right. Who are you tipping between Essendon and Hawthorn?
Hawthorn.
Is that emphatic?
Yeah, I did the deep dive on Hawthorn and had a bit of a look, and I think that they're not as... Everyone's tipping them for bottom four, but that just never pans out that way. I know they did last year, or bottom five, but they've got a better list than Essendon. I know they've got a few injuries with Gunston and Mitchell's got the shoulder, but they always finish some, you know, around 10th, Hawthorn.
When do you start radio? When's your first...
Friday night
pregame.
Mixed Grill.
Who with?
I think it'll have to be the concussion sub fiasco.
Why don't they change that name from Mick's Grill, let's be honest here, to Mick Bash's the AFL?
Well, I must admit, I was thinking I've got to try and, you know, just find it. steer clear of just head office. But that
topic
annoys me. And the thing is, you always say to me, oh, you hate the game, you've got a funny way to show it.
No, you like the game. No, you love the game.
I love it. And so these things annoy me so much that I want to talk about it because the fans want – it annoys the fans as well. They just want their game to be given back to them. And that's why the day grand final – I had to laugh when Tony Cochran said – you know, that it was a BS decision to have a day grand final.
We're not allowed to say that word on our podcast.
A BS, he said. He said it was ridiculous.
Say the word.
I mean, seriously, Tony.
Say the word.
90% of people disagree with you, mate.
Say the word.
What's that? No. Anyway, I think that's all we've got time for. Have you got anything left in the chamber?
Righto, great to talk to you. Are you looking forward to round one? Is it like it? You got the boys. It's not so much about the parents and adults, and we want it. What are the kids like? What are your kids like? What's young Will like? Is he?
He's just about getting there, and being in prep, that I think this will be the year where the footy really takes off. But I'll be.
So I'm writing tomorrow about what it means to the fans to go back to the football. We spent last year in lockdown. That's why I asked you about lockdown at the start of the show. It seems so far away, but I went to last year's round one. There was about 200 people there, and it was hollow.
Mm.
It was hollow.
Yeah.
And
that'll be magnificent.
Kids are going to be back at all the grounds around Australia getting their faces
painted.
Sooner
we get
painted.
To 100, the better, though. I mean, there's
100,000 friends. Well, that day's a tip.
There's no virus in the community, is there? So why can't we have 100,000 this week?
We could have a hub situation here in Victoria.
Well.
Well, you know, quick draw McGraw at Western Australia, mate. He'll put those borders up. As soon as those borders go up.
What about that election result? He won everything. Like, there is no Liberal Party in Western Australia.
No. It's like the old Democrats.
Don Chip.
The recently departed Don Chip, didn't he?
Sure.
Welcome back to round one. Good to talk to you. I'll see you.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back next week with the Herald Sun Footy Podcast.